Imagine being trapped in a mental prison where your own thoughts become your tormentors. For millions with obsessive-compulsive disorder, this isn't imagination, it's daily reality. The same magnificent brain that enables humans to compose symphonies and land on Mars can transform into an inescapable torture chamber, cycling through disturbing thoughts and compelling ritualistic behaviors. What makes this condition so baffling is how it turns the brain against itself, creating a paradoxical situation where the more you try to control unwanted thoughts, the stronger they become. But there's profound hope in understanding the neuroscience behind these symptoms, knowledge that transforms seemingly irrational behaviors into comprehensible brain patterns that can be changed. The revolutionary insight is that OCD isn't a mysterious psychological quirk, but a neurological condition with specific brain circuits that can be rewired. While genetic factors play a role, with studies showing 25 to 30% concordance rates in identical twins, the brain's remarkable plasticity means these patterns aren't permanent. Brain imaging has revealed that OCD involves hyperactivity in specific circuits connecting the frontal lobes, basal ganglia, and amygdala. And more importantly, targeted interventions can normalize these patterns, literally rewiring the OCD brain. That racing heart and overwhelming dread? That's your amygdala, an almond-sized structure deep in your brain, triggering your defense system. This ancient security guard operates through two pathways, a lightning-fast, direct route, triggering immediate physical responses, and a slower cortex pathway, providing context. Your amygdala makes split-second decisions based on incomplete information, like reacting to a curved stick before recognizing it's harmless. People with OCD misinterpret these anxiety sensations as evidence of danger rather than unnecessary defense responses. While the amygdala drives anxiety, obsessions begin in the cortex. The fundamental issue in OCD is cognitive fusion, believing thoughts are absolute truths rather than simply mental events. When a random thought, like, "Did I lock the door?" appears, most people dismiss it, but someone with OCD treats it as crucial information requiring action. Most college students report occasionally having disturbing, intrusive thoughts, surprising many OCD sufferers who believe such thoughts uniquely significant. The difference isn't having these thoughts, it's how seriously you take them. The brain operates on survival of the busiest. Neural pathways used frequently become stronger, while unused ones weaken. This explains why obsessive thoughts gain strength through repetition. Even arguing against these thoughts reinforce their neural pathways. The amygdala monitors your thoughts, like watching cortex television, responding to threatening mental images by triggering anxiety regardless of whether they reflect reality. Unlike animals, humans use their advanced frontal lobes to project into hypothetical futures. This evolutionary advantage comes with a cost. We torture ourselves with elaborate worries about things that may never happen. Worry provides paradoxical relief by keeping us in abstract thought rather than anxiety-provoking imagery, switching from a frightening mental movie to merely hearing a narrative. Though many believe worrying helps prepare for problems, chronic worry actually depletes mental resources without producing solutions. Obsessions differ from worry. While worry is something we consciously engage in, obsessions feel involuntary, intrusive, unwanted thoughts that cause distress and contradict our values. Common themes include contamination fears, needs for symmetry, fears of harming others, perfectionism, and unwanted religious or sexual thoughts. Neuroimaging shows abnormalities in the anterior cingulate cortex of people with OCD, a crucial region bridging the emotional amygdala and rational prefrontal cortex. In OCD, this region may get stuck in repetitive loops, creating a faulty worry circuit that prevents progression from threat assessment to problem solving. When anxiety strikes, physical reactions like trembling and racing heart aren't danger signals, but your protective defense system at work. These responses helped our ancestors survive threats. The issue is misinterpreting these normal reactions as dangerous. Slow, deep breathing directly calms the amygdala by affecting blood CO2 levels. Breathing at 5 to 6 breaths per minute reduces stress hormones. Practice diaphragmatic breathing by sitting with one hand on your chest and another on your stomach, breathing deeply to expand your abdomen like filling a balloon. Progressive muscle relaxation offers another approach. Tense muscle groups for 5 seconds, then completely release them, working systematically through your body. Notice the relaxation spreading as you release unconscious tension that accompanies anxiety. Regularly practicing these techniques during calm periods creates neural pathways that make relaxation responses more automatic and accessible during high-stress situations, preventing chronic amygdala overactivity. The defense response prepares your body for physical activity, making exercise exactly what the amygdala wants. Just 20 minutes of moderate exercise reduces anxiety by utilizing blood flow, burning excess adrenaline, and increasing endorphins and serotonin. Regular exercise creates lasting changes in the amygdala, making it calmer and less reactive. Sleep is equally crucial, yet often disrupted by OCD's perfectionism. During sleep, your brain releases hormones, produces neurochemicals, removes toxins, and stores memories. Sleep deprivation heightens amygdala reactivity to emotional stimuli, creating a cycle where anxiety disrupts sleep and poor sleep worsens anxiety. To improve sleep, keep your amygdala calm before bedtime by avoiding worry-focused thoughts. Replace worrying with calming activities like reading, which uses the same verbal processing as worrying. Aim for 7 to 9 hours of sleep to maximize REM sleep, which helps regulate amygdala reactivity. The amygdala learns through direct experience, not logic or reassurance. Exposure with response prevention, ERP, is the most effective OCD treatment, requiring you to face triggers while resisting compulsions. This approach creates new neural pathways that don't trigger anxiety. Anxiety typically peaks before encountering the feared situation, not during it. This anticipatory nature serves an evolutionary purpose. The fight, flight, freeze response works best when activated before danger arrives. Understanding this pattern helps you push through initial anxiety, knowing that facing fears often diminishes anxiety. Response prevention, resisting compulsions during exposure, is crucial. Compulsions provide temporary relief, but prevent the amygdala from learning that triggers aren't dangerous. Only by experiencing triggers without seeking relief will the amygdala learn they're safe. With repeated exposure, amygdala activation decreases as new memories override fear associations. The path to freedom from OCD combines changing thought patterns and accepting what you cannot control. Cognitive restructuring transforms self-defeating thoughts that trigger problematic emotional responses. Your interpretations, catastrophizing, perfectionism, need for certainty, and excessive responsibility activate the amygdala and fuel OCD. Instead of trying to erase negative thoughts, which reinforces them, follow "don't erase, replace." When anxiety-producing thoughts arise, use thought stopping by saying "stop," then immediately substitute an engaging alternative thought. Simultaneously, practice acceptance by observing anxiety mindfully rather than fighting it. Your brain's neuroplasticity means you're not permanently trapped in OCD patterns. Each time you choose a different response to a trigger, you're rewiring neural circuits. The goal isn't eliminating anxiety completely, but developing a new relationship with it, where intrusive thoughts lose their power and your brain becomes an ally. Freedom comes from understanding your brain's mechanisms and working with them rather than against them.